You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. San Quentin has had the deadliest coronavirus outbreak of any California prison. It started after incarcerated people were transferred there from Chino, another prison where the disease had spread. Uncuffed producer Chanton Bunn made it out just in time. After more than two decades of incarceration, he was released from San Quentin at the beginning of July. When he left, he was suffering from COVID, and he's been recovering on his own. KALW's Nina Gensler-Debs followed up with Bunn to hear how he's adjusting to the outside world.
We're sitting outside where the place where you're living, and it's a really nice day. So how are you doing?
I'm doing a whole lot better. I'm just enjoying every moment of freedom right now. I'm enjoying the sun. I'm enjoying the wind. I'm enjoying waking up in the morning and walking outside with a little chill. I remember about last week, my lungs started to clear up. And when it cleared up right away, I took my first deep breath. And I was like, oh, my God, breathing like this is so much easier. And it was like a new life for me. Like, I am breathing. I love breathing.
That's awesome. But it took you a while. It took you a while to feel better, right?
Yeah. After my temperature went down, I had coughing still. I had trouble breathing still. Then I got this thing they call COVID toe.
What's that like?
It's torture. It's like somebody pulling your toenails out and picking what toe they want to pull it from.
Ow.
Yeah. Torture.
Could you walk?
Yeah. The first time I venture out, I was like, oh, I'm going to go right now, but I'm going around the block. At first, I wanted to test my lungs out to see how much I could walk before I got tired and I couldn't breathe too well. But also, I was like, I wanted to see the outside world, and it was scary. I didn't feel comfortable crossing the street. The cars were so fast. I stopped for every car, and every car stopped for me, and we had to have eye contact, and they keep on telling me go. And the smell, there was a gas station right here. I smelled the gas, and then I smelled, you know, the little food that they had there. I smelled the exhaust pipe. It was amazing, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah, getting all my senses back. Like, I see people walking towards me. The only thing weird is when people walk towards, they don't have eye contact. They look the other way and like act like they don't know you. And I was like, I'm not used to that. I'm waving at everybody. Hi, how you guys doing? Hi, how you guys doing?
Because you used to be in a place where you know everyone.
Yeah, and then they just look at me like, okay. Look, there go my buddy Blondie. That's my cat friend.
Who's your cat friend?
Blonde.
Can you describe him?
It's a tiger stripe cat. When I was stuck in the room on COVID, I used to sit by the window, and then used to come by. Then I made friends with them. There's two of them. There's blonde and black. They were my only company for 3-4 weeks. So, yeah, those are my buddies right there. They come by 3-4 times a day. I stopped having severe symptoms where I could focus on taking things in, processing everything. And the walk around the block is helping me process. Like, because, you know, sitting in this room is like sitting in a cell. I just have a view. Now that I'm coming out a little bit and walking around and seeing things, and this week and a half, I yell out, I'm free.
You
I come out
yell.
Here, I yell, I'm free. This is freedom, I'm free. And I roll around the grass, I'm free. And I tell myself that it's still overwhelming, but the feelings are kicking in, the joyness. And the sorrow at the same time, you know? I feel so bad for my friends that I left behind. I feel like, you know, when people go to war and come back and, like, you know, I left some friends behind.
Survivor's guilt.
I have a lot of that because I have a lot of friends there. And two have died. And, you know, it's hard to process that because my friend had passed away. I can't go to his funeral because I don't know where the family's at. CDC's not telling us anything. The sad part is, for me, that is so, that I have this guilt, is because when I was in there and it was an outbreak, we talked about it with both of them. the first one, I know him as Smanky. I told him, be careful, because if you catch it, I don't think you're going to make it, because I know his medical problems. And, you know, I check up on him. And Eric, that just passed away, we talked about it when it was an outbreak, right when he heard that Chino sent inmates to San Quentin, he double masked everywhere he went.
He was
worried. And I knew his condition, he had respiratory problems. And, you know, it's hard to process that because I can't be a part of the funeral. I don't know where he's getting buried. I don't know how his family's doing. And, you know, I'm starting to process that. Now I'm starting to think, I got to live for these two guys that I care about, you know. Yeah. Because they always told me, man, you're going to be out there. You're going to be good. You know, I was real close with him. One of them, I was his cellmate for years.
I'm really sorry to hear that, Bob. Yeah. I'm really sorry.
So right now, I'm just in the process of mourning him.
I remember the last time we talked, you told me that you weren't quite sure you were going to get out, and then all of a sudden you had to run around and say goodbye, and it was kind of weird to all your friends. Are these two people you got to say goodbye to when you left?
I didn't get to say goodbye to them because they lived on the bottom tier, and I was heading down the bottom tier, and the officer's like, you better go right now. And I hope they heard me because I yelled out, I'll see you guys later, man. I'm gone.
And you were experiencing symptoms yourself, like bad symptoms. Obviously, you know, we don't know the extent of what they were feeling, but I can imagine that must have.
Yes. I could imagine how they passed. And that's a sad thing because I experienced it and it almost took my life. I would have passed on if I didn't have my community caring for me and taking good care of me and you know, helping me through this. And I know that with them, they don't have that. They're going to the hospital by themselves. There's no community care. There's no, you know, and so that's another guilt I feel because I got care from people that care about me, that love me. And then when I think about them, they had a steel door and handcuffs on them.
That was Uncuffed producer Chanton Bun speaking with KALW's Nina Gensler-Debs. You can stay tuned for more of Bun's story by subscribing to Uncuffed in your podcast player. Just look up Uncuffed.